preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quick on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Lord. Sing this.
The glory of the Lord is filling this place. The glory of the Lord is filling this place.
pray. Give him glory this morning. Give him glory this morning. Lord, worship him. There's nobody like you, Lord. There's none other. You are the true God. You are the way and the truth and the life. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in you. You're not a part of the truth, Lord. You are the truth, Jesus. The truth. Your word is truth. Lord, we thank you for your presence, Lord. God, we're asking that you fill us, that you change us. God, that you open our eyes to things that we don't see, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you guide us into all truth and your word and the realities going on around us. We ask you, Lord God, that truly that your power would come down and that we could help others see that you are light, that you are the creator, that you are the only true God, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we pray, help us. Give us power to be a witness. Give us the truth and the words that will change lives and deliver them from this darkness and the deception of Satan. Father, we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning, everybody. We welcome you. We welcome you to Fire and Grace Church. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio this morning. I tell you, there are times that God just overwhelms me. It just puts me in awe. He constantly blows my mind. I don't know about you guys, but the longer I live, the more I study the Bible, the more I hunger and thirst for truth and knowledge and understanding of him, the more I ask questions, he will lead, and he has many times led me either to the understanding, the revelation, the truth that I need to understand from his word, or to somebody who's gone a little further than me, and I learn from them, and God has used people to teach me things and blow my mind. I have to say that today, starting yesterday and on into about midnight last night, God has been blowing my mind. But I can't tell you. That's cruel, isn't it? You know, Jesus made this statement in John 15. He said, I had many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. And I promise you, this one, I still can't wrap my brain fully around it. But this much I can tell you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is God manifested in the flesh. He's not a God. He's not part of the truth. He is the truth. And the Word of God, I don't care how many critics come against it. I don't care how many preachers throw it out the door. I don't care how many Christians say, well, I believe this, but I don't believe that. I don't care what they say. I'm telling you, this book right here, every jot, every tittle, every syllable, every letter, every word is inspired by the Creator. Have no doubts about that. And even if you go 20 or 30 years and you go, God, I don't understand this, it doesn't make sense to me, if you keep seeking Him and you keep studying and you keep praying and you keep going after God and hungering for truth, He will reveal it. Amen? I've learned that much about him. Turn to Colossians this morning, chapter 3. There's so much I want to say. Well, maybe I can get there myself. Colossians chapter 3. Everybody there? There's so much here. Actually, before we read this in Colossians 3, let's go back up to Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul, speaking here by the Holy Ghost, says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Now, when Paul was saying this, when he's saying, if you knew to the Colossians what conflict I have in you, for you and for them at Laodicea, the conflict or the struggle going on in Paul was because the Colossians were being deceived by the philosophies and doctrines of men. And we all know what happened to the church of Laodicea because Jesus revealed it in Revelation 3, that they had become lukewarm. And so long before we get to what Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, probably about 30 years or so, maybe a little less, we see Paul saying, "I have a great conflict going on inside of me for you." True men of God, true women of God, true ministers of the gospel, they long, truly long for one thing, that the children of God, the people of God, would walk in the truth of God's word, obey it, live it, believe it, operate in it, and stay faithful to it and make it to heaven. That's the longing desire, and it should be the longing desire of every Christian. You know, I'm entitled this message today, "Don't Miss Heaven." But it's so much more than that, because heaven is all about Jesus. It's all about being with him for all eternity. He has prepared for us a place with him, he said, that has not even entered into our hearts and minds. We cannot even fathom the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We can't even fathom heaven. Yes, we have a little bit of some descriptors in the Bible, and we have people that have had visions. I've seen visions of heaven, several. But I still believe I haven't even seen, not even a little bit, of what God has for us. And can I just say this real simple? There is nothing on this earth. There is no sinful pleasure. There is no lust. There is no rebellion. There's no sin. There's nothing, no person on the earth that is worth losing out being with Jesus, being in heaven for all eternity. Nothing. Because I promise you, what little bit you know about him now, you're going to be blown away for all eternity. There is nothing here worth missing out on this. And Paul was struggling. He had a conflict in him because he knew that the Colossian church, he knew that the Laodicean church, he knew that many of them were basically going to fall away through the philosophies and doctrines of men. Many of them were going to fall into lukewarmness and be spewed out of Jesus' body, out of his mouth. And so in his heart, he had a great burden for the church, for the people of God, that they would not fall away. And they would not miss out on heaven. Let's read on. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness, of the full assurance of understanding," listen to this, "to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man beguile you, deceive you with enticing words." He said, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through the philosophy, or through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that is in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now this passage itself is just simply powerful. But let's jump over to chapter 3 and read verse 1 here, a few verses. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your passion, your desires on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Therefore, for that reason, if you want that, mortify, kill, crucify, therefore your members, your body that wants to sin in the earth. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, all sexual immorality, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. Now we could just read on and on here, but today I just want to bring out this truth. God wants us, the conflict that Paul had for these two churches, these people, these Christians, he said that they would be knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery. And then he goes on to say, speaking of Jesus, he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Can I just say to you this day that most all of the world lies in darkness, spiritual darkness, and the deception and lies of Satan and the fallen angels. And most of you don't even know it. You're Christians. But a lot of you believe things that didn't come from God. They're not in his word. You've been lied to. And you believe it. Some of it you were taught in school. Some of it you were taught in college. Folks, there is no wisdom or counsel or understanding. I don't care if it comes from NASA, Auburn University, Georgia Tech. There is no wisdom or counsel or understanding that is against the Lord for this book. And what's so beautiful about it is that the Lord wants us all to know the truth about everything. You know what's so funny? I can look back on my years as a Christian when I was in my 20s and 30s, and I thought I knew something. Yes, I knew Jesus. Yes, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Yes, I saw people healed miraculously. Yes, I cast demons out of people and saw people set free from demonic possession and oppression and everything else, and still do. Led people to Jesus that are still saved to this day, that are ministers of the gospel now. Led them to Jesus, led them to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thought I was something. I really thought I was something. I thought I knew something. I tell you, the last few years of my life, some of you have been able to witness some of these things. God's had to show me, I know you thought you were right about that, but you weren't. Here's what the truth of my word says. Here's what's always been written there, and you didn't see it. Can I just say that pride, our pride in thinking we know something, really a lot of times blinds us to what's really written in the scriptures. It really does. I know what blows my mind is when I'm reading something or I'm studying something or I'm researching something and the scriptures began to just open up and I go, how did I never see this? I've read this passage, 100 times, 500 times. How many times? I've read it and read it and read it and read it. And I thought it meant this and I thought it was about this and I find out it was none of that. I remember years ago, I thought I understood Revelation. Now I can actually say I got a pretty good grip on it, and I was wrong on a lot of it back then. We need to be a people humble enough to say there are some mysteries of God that we don't know about yet. Not that they're not written in Scripture. They're there. They're just veiled to our eyes a lot of times because either God knows we can't bear them at a certain time or because we don't spend enough time with Him to let Him reveal them to us. But there are mysteries. There are hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge of Jesus. And let me just say this. It's not just about gaining knowledge because as these mysteries are revealed of Him, as these truths and these hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are truly revealed to you by the Spirit as you're studying His Word and reading, it causes you to love Him more. It causes you to see that He is the way, the truth, the life, that there's no other God or being like our God. So I'm not saying this just for the sake of pursuit of understanding mysteries or just trying to gain knowledge that other churches or other Christians don't have. I'm just saying that as you pursue Him and you seek revelation and understanding and as you're willing to accept that maybe you were wrong about some things before, you're going to grow. And you're going to grow in your faith. I know the more that I realize where science and scientists have lied to us, and God's Word is true and it's always been true, it only makes my faith in Him stronger and stronger and stronger. Let me tell you something. I think a lot of Christians that do make it to heaven, when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ, one of the things that they're going to regret the most is the time wasted on foolishness when they could have been seeking after God, studying His Word, meditating, and receiving revelation of these mysteries and hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And let me just say this too. God wants to give you revelation and understanding of the mysteries of creation, of both the physical creation and of the spirit realm. He wants to give it to you so you can give it to somebody else, so you can set somebody else free. Remember, it is the truth, Jesus said, that sets us free. It sets us free from the lies of Satan and all of his people. It sets us free. Listen, lies, if you believe lies, whenever you believe something contrary to the scriptures, you begin to lose faith. It's like poking a hole in the bottom of the boat or poking the hole in the balloon. It's going to lose air. The moment you believe a lie, and that's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, John 8, 31, 32, he said to the Jews that believed on him, the word believed, saving faith, believed. He said to the Jews that believed, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I tell people all the time, you want to know why I know the truth and I'm fully persuaded about the once saved, always saved lie that's out there, that you are once saved, always saved, no matter how you live? You want to know why I'm convinced of that?
Because I spent hours upon hours upon hours, sometimes 10 hours a day when I was a young man, instead of goofing off and going to movies and playing video games, I was studying the Bible. I was reading the Bible. I was studying it. And God began to show it to me all over the truth. When I was in my 20s. And that truth has set many people free from the lie of continuing in sin and thinking they're going to heaven. But if I hadn't paid the price to get the understanding, the revelation, the foundation of God's Word from Genesis to the maps on that subject, I could have been shaken. I could have been persuaded by somebody's false theology. Some of those guys that I led to the Lord over 20 years ago that are saved to this day, that are ministers of the gospel to this day. We had Baptist people come in after I led them to Jesus and try to feed them that false doctrine. That once they were saved, and they went back to drinking, smoking dope, sleeping with a girlfriend, fornication. And I had to show them. I had to show them clearly. Here's what the Word says. I kept giving them Word. Even they cussed me out. My best friends that I'd led to Jesus in the baptism of the Holy Spirit started cussing me out because, you know, their Baptist friend told them that they could, you know, still drink, smoke dope, and sleep with their girlfriend. If they want saved, always saved. God understands. That's what they need to do. But I had to come along and show them differently. And if I hadn't have known the truth, if I hadn't have been established in the truth of God's Word and willing to stand upon it and share it boldly, and even make them angry at me, they would not be walking with God this day, and all the people that they've ministered to and led to Jesus and discipled wouldn't happen. And I'm just sharing this to say you must be willing to pay the price to get the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding and the revelation of God's Word in you for yourself, for your own relationship with Jesus, and so you can adequately help others. Listen, there's a lot of people out there that you can't just tell them that Jesus loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life. That's not going to work. They've heard that. And though it may be true in general, people need specifics. Now we have Oprah. Folks, there is an all-out, full-court press by everyone in the media, everyone in politics and world governments, even within the church world, from Rick Warren Joel Osteen. Even T.D. Jakes. There is this push. God loves us, so everything's okay. You find your own way, your own belief. Even the Pope's doing it. Lying devil. And let me just tell you, folks, I don't care, Andy, you know this. Andy's about to be Dr. Andy, PhD. Let me just tell you, some of the stuff you learn isn't right. We got a bunch of PhDs telling us stuff that came from Satan. That's one good thing. See, you can have that beside your name and tell them the right way. They said, but much of what you guys think about the world, what you learn in history, about the earth, about the cosmos, about history, not even right. What's not even true? We got people that have PhDs in lies. Evolution? That's laughable. It's not even mathematically possible. But if you say different about it, you're the crazy
according to them. Because there is a heaven. It's a real place. There is a hell. That's a real place. Somebody posted this. This was funny the other day. I saved it in my phone. Saved the picture. I hadn't posted it yet. You know, the rock and roll songs. It's funny that it says there's a stairway to heaven and a highway to hell. I guess even the wicked understand that there's the different amount of traffic that's going to be headed in which direction. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But wide is the gate. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many will go in there. There are some of you sitting in this room, that if you don't get it together and get serious about Jesus, you will not be in heaven when you die or when Jesus comes. Because you're still in love with things in this world. There's sins you won't let go of. There's idols you won't turn loose of. Some listening to me right now. Hundreds of people now listen every week. But the sad truth is that many of them will hear the truth that they must believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. They must believe that he died on the cross and that his blood was an atonement for sin. They must believe in their heart that he was raised from the dead. And they must turn from their own sin and their own plans and their own will to surrender to the lordship of Jesus. There's a lot of people right now, a lot of people. Go, try me on this. Test me out. Walk out there in the world. Walk out on the street and start asking people the simple question. Do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? Simple question. First of all, do you believe there's a heaven? I would say 90% of people say yes. Okay, second question. Do you believe you will go to heaven when you die? Most people, I believe almost probably 90%, will say, oh yeah. The real question, though, is the next one. Why do you think you'll go to heaven? That's when it gets interesting. Well, I'm not, you know, I believe in Jesus. A lot of people will say that. I believe in Jesus. And you know, the Baptist preacher told me that's all I had to do. I heard it this week. Just believe in Jesus. Oh, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe there's in the Creator. I don't know what His name is. I believe in Him. And I'm a pretty good person. I'm not that bad. Or like Oprah, just do good. Help people. Love people. That's enough. Doesn't matter what you call God. Doesn't matter what religion you are, what way you choose, or what path you choose. Sounds nice, doesn't it? But the truth of God's word says there is only one God and one way. One God, one way. This, when you stand for this truth, is when you bring the persecution on yourself. If you don't want persecution, you will say things like, yeah, Jesus loves everybody. Yeah, Jesus died for everybody. Nobody has a problem with that.
But once you say, unless you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, unless you're willing to repent and obey God's word, the moment you say that and you say, if you don't, you will not inherit eternal life, you will not go to heaven, you will go to hell and burn in torment forever. That's what brings the persecution. And this entire world is under this deception. And all of you are going to be faced to make the choice, will you stand for the true gospel of Jesus Christ, or will you stand with the false gospel of Oprah, the United Nations, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren? The Pope? You will decide. But I can tell you this much. If you're willing to stand for the truth about the true Jesus and the truth about a real heaven and a real hell and the truth about what it takes to make it there, if you will stand up for that and be faithful to that and seek God and study that Bible and go after Him, He will take you deeper and deeper and deeper, and He will show you things that will absolutely blow your mind. You hear me? Poor wife. She even said it this morning. She said, honey, you start sharing that stuff. And they already think it's great. They think I'm crazy. People think I'm crazy because I don't believe in the pre-trib rapture doctrine. They think I'm crazy because I don't believe you're eternally secure no matter how you live. They think I'm crazy that I believe a Christian can have a demon. All things that I can prove in Scripture and have seen with my own eyes. But they still think I'm crazy. There's people who won't set foot in this church or in any meeting we do simply over the pre-trib rapture issue. And when you put all those things together, they think, that's one crazy, radical, nut preacher over there. My God, Carol, he doesn't even like Joel Osteen. What's wrong with him? I got one friend that I went to school with, went to college with, was in my fraternity. He won't have anything to do with me because he loves Joel. And I told him the truth about Joel. You know, if you're going to go on Larry King live on CNN and say, doesn't matter which, you know, if you're a Hindu or a Buddhist or Mormon or whatever, and you're still going to heaven when you die. I'm sorry, I didn't do that to Joel. Joel did that to himself. But you know what? How many preachers will say it? The gospel. Right now, we could say this. The gospel, the true gospel, is under attack. But I got news for them. The gospel is the power of God. So guess what? You can be on the side of the attack, join the crowd, or you can be on the side of the power of God. Because the gospel is all about Jesus. And Jesus is coming back to deal with these heathens. You know, I'm convinced that most of them know that too. They're scared. Do you know that some of these elites, these globalists, these Luciferians, one world government, one world religion, do you know that some of them actually do believe in our God and that He's coming back? And they believe that they're going to develop the technology to kill God. Why do you think they're going to gather, the armies are going to gather in Israel? It says to fight the Lamb, not to fight Israel. Why are they going there? Because they know that's where the Bible says that he's going to set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. That's why they're going there. And that's what CERN is about. Do you know that CERN, the real truth is that they're trying to find a subatomic particle that they believe will be powerful enough to destroy God. That's the real truth. And think about this, folks. All the governments of the world are contributing tens of millions, billions of dollars to CERN and this collider, and they're doing all these experiments trying to find, what do they call them, strangely. See, Higgs boson or whatever, that particle, that's old news, man. Quarks, that's old news. We got to find something else. And they're looking for these things that when they collide these protons together, these very smaller subatomic particles break off, and they are these things called strangelets. And you know what strangelets are? The most powerful explosives that man can get. Now think about this. Let me just share this with you. You want to talk about Bible stuff? The magnets that are in CERN, right, that bend that beam and keep it going in a circle at near the speed of light. Those magnets send off an electromagnetic pulse through the Earth. They've pretty well proven that when that thing's cranked up, earthquake activity increases. They don't even know fully what they're releasing when they collide these different protons. But we know that neutrinos and quarks and all these other subatomic particles travel through the Earth, all the way through. And the electromagnetic wave travels through the Earth. And other physicists have said that this machine, being the largest machine ever made by man, the most powerful machine ever made by man, there are unsaved, non-Christian scientists saying this thing could destroy the Earth. Not a good idea to crank it up, maybe, to full power. And I read in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, I can't remember now. Look it up for me. Believe in me. But God makes this one little simple phrase. He says he's coming back to destroy those who are destroying the earth. That hadn't got anything to do with littering with plastic drinking bottles. Literally, the word destroy there means those who are demolishing the earth. And right now, there's only two ways to do that, to truly destroy the earth. Completely. CERN and a nuclear war. Think about that. And these madmen are pushing us toward both. And Jesus made this statement in Matthew 24. He said, if he did not cut those days short, no flesh would be saved. And that's just one thing that's happened. Just one thing. I am more convinced than I've ever been in my life that we are entering the Great Tribulation period. That we are entering the last years of this earth and this world as we know it. And that Jesus Christ, our Creator, our God, our Savior, the one who died and rose from the dead, the one who went down into hell and got the keys of hell and death, the one who made this planet. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld his glory. That same Jesus, they said, on the day he ascended to heaven, the angel stood there and said, this same Jesus, which you see going into heaven, will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He is coming back to this earth. But before he comes back, we're going through some dark and difficult days, and many will die. The question's going to be, are you truly going to be ready to meet your death, the day of your death, or the day of his return, whichever you reach first? Are you going to be ready? Is he number one in your life? Do you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love his word? Do you love the truth? Do you hate sin? Do you hate it when you mess up and you sin and you fall? Do you hate sin and love righteousness? You will stand before him on judgment day and you will give an account of everything you have done. You will give an account how you lived your life. Some will hear, enter into the joy of thy Lord, and some will hear, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. These are the simple truths of the Word of God. Quit playing games. Get off the fence. Quit being lukewarm. Quit being silent and worrying about what people think of you. Speak the truth. You know, the parable of the talents. Parable of the talents in Matthew 25. You can turn there if you want, but I just want to talk to you about it. I know I'm picking on Baptists, but it's easy to do. I pick on Roman Catholics too, so. I'm not right. I pick on everybody. Presbyterians, Calvinists, Charismatic, Pentecostals. That's right. I pick on myself too, brother. But he says there, this parable, and I was going to say picking on my Baptist friend, you know, they talk about, this is talking about your talents to play the piano. No, it's not. My God, help us, Jesus. It's got nothing to do with whether you can play the piano or not. The parable says, kingdom of heaven is man giving to his servants, traveling to a far country. And to one servant he gave 5 talents of money. To another he gave 2. To another he gave 1. Everybody knows this story, right? Here's what we miss. Matter of fact, let me turn there. We miss some very important truth here. Let's just read it. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Everybody say this with me. Who called his own servants? The wicked? The unsaved? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. What does Jesus give us? Is it about money? Is this parable about really about money? What do you want from God more than money? I know what I want from God more than money. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, his presence, him. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods. He doesn't give his goods to the unsaved, to the wicked, to the children of the devil. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents, and likewise he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid. Everybody say this. His Lord's money. His Lord. Jesus was his Lord. Ouch. After a long time, say 2,000 years, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That's the judgment seat. The judgment seat of Christ, not the judgment of the wicked 1,000 years later. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and he reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. And behold, I have gained 2 talents, 2 other talents beside them. His Lord. And this is talking about the second coming of Jesus. It's over. This is the judgment seat of Christians. This is where Christians will be judged. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, say these 3 words with me. I knew thee. What is new? I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Now this is powerful because what he's saying here is, God, I knew that you weren't playing around. Serious? And I knew when you reap where you haven't sown that you do the supernatural. I knew you were a miracle-working God. And I knew you meant what you said. But he says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. You oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with interest. Listen to what Jesus says to this one. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, what Jesus gives us, folks, you want me to break this parable down for you? What Jesus gives us to all of his servants, he gives us all 2 things. The 2 things we need most. He says he gives us grace. And he gives us faith. To every man's dealt the measure of faith. Really, all men have been dealt the measure of faith, and God has been drawing and convicting all men. He said, if Jesus said it in John 12, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's why Calvinism is wrong. Jesus said, I will draw all men. So all men are being drawn. All people are being convicted of sin. Their conscience speaks. God is working to try to bring them in. He's given to every man grace, meaning divine influence upon the heart. He's given to every man faith. And that's what it says in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God has given it to you. You didn't earn it. He will give it to you. He'll give you everything you need to make it to heaven. But the lie of the church world, the lie of most preachers is, Jesus just gives it. You do nothing. No, you take grace and you take faith and you act upon it and you bear fruit, the fruit of repentance in your life. The Bible calls repentance fruit. The Bible calls holiness fruit, the fruit of holiness. And then the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And then the Bible talks about the fruit of winning other souls to Jesus. So what the one that was given 5 and the one that was given 2, They went out and did something. They acted upon their faith. They bore fruit of repentance, fruit of holiness, fruit of soul saved, fruit of the Spirit in their life. They were growing. They were doing something. And notice, I love it because he didn't expect everybody to do the same. Some were given more responsibility than others. God's not looking at how many people you win to Jesus. He's not looking at how many times you go to church or what you're called to do. He's just looking for you to be faithful. Do something with what he's given you. Live a holy life. Live an obedient life. Open your mouth and speak to the unsaved, the lost, the backslidden. But one of his servants took what he was given and hid it in the earth, hid it because he was afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of what people were. Afraid of losing friends or family members. Afraid of dying. Afraid of persecution. Afraid. Listen to me. Fear is your enemy. I tell people all this. I've preached this for years. I said, you will either overcome fear or it will overcome you. There's no peace treaty with fear. But if fear stops you from doing what you need to do as a Christian, to walk close to Jesus and to be a light to other people and to do it right, then you're going to end up hearing these words. Take from him what he has. Oh, they say, you can't lose your salvation. No, you're not going to misplace it. An angel's going to come take it away from you. Thanks. And then an angel's going to grab you, and they're going to throw you into outer darkness. Pastor Dean, you scare me to death with this kind of stuff. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember, we started this talking about the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. First, the beginning. Fear God. How many people are going to stand before God and go, I knew what I should have done? But Lord, all I have is this gift you gave me. Salvation that I didn't earn. I tell people all the time, you don't earn it, but you better do what you need to do to keep it. You know the difference? Did Adam and Eve earn their place in the Garden of Eden? No. God created the garden. He made the Garden of Eden. He created Adam and Eve. They were sinless. Think about that. They were new creatures in God. They were sinless. They didn't know what sin was. They were totally holy and pure and clean. Did they earn that? No, God did all that for them. He made paradise. He made them holy. He made them new creatures. He breathed in them the breath of life. And they were living souls and living spirits. It was grace and total grace. They didn't earn their place in paradise. But God said, if you're going to keep it, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they didn't earn it, but they had to keep it. Somebody else say it's good preaching. I don't want any of you to hear the words on Judgment Day. Or I don't want to be standing nearby and hear you say, I knew what I should have done. I knew what I should have said. I knew what I should have prayed. I knew I should have shared with my neighbor. I knew I should have not continued in that adulterous affair. I know I should. I knew. Take from him. Let me see something. Give me that phone. Just give it to me for a second. Give me your phone.
Hmm? Let me smack you, woman, in front of everybody, church. I'm not going to mention nothing. All right. My wife and I have a deal. I work. She takes care of the house. She takes care of Faye. She homeschools Faye. Takes care of me real good. But what I'm saying is, I paid for this phone, didn't I, babe? You know what I'm saying. And I gave it to her, right? She didn't earn it. She didn't have to earn it. But now she wants to go out, cheat on me. The phone and everything else is coming back to me. You go get your own phone after that. You understand? We got a lot of people, a lot of Christians, that are cheating on Jesus. But like Steve Hill used to say, if you break up with the devil, you give him his stuff back. Right? Too many people want Jesus, but they're cheating on him. So hear what I'm saying. He is the pearl of great price. Remember that parable? Man found this field and he found this pearl of great price and said he went and sold everything he had. He bought that field. See, that's really the gospel in a nutshell, what we have to do. It's all for Jesus. I mean, I understand, Andy, why you got so close to your PhD and decided, you know, it's not even important in life. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I understand that. And maybe it was a test to see, is that an idol in your life? Folks, we don't want to miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. Don't hear the words, depart from me. You know what makes me sad? And I have to wonder sometimes. Listen, I'm going to close with this, I promise. I'm going to let you out of here. I know some of you get squirming in your seat. Like, I don't know if it's conviction or you're just hungry or it's all you can take. I don't know. But here's what saddens me. You know, Trey was a good example of this. Trey sat in this church for a long time and wasn't saved. But now if you'd ask him, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. He was not born again, though. And I remember when he really got. And then he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Is he different, Sandra? Yeah. But the sad part of that is I knew it. I suspected it. And sometimes you got to try to take people at their word sometimes, but I'm like, hmm. But just because somebody says that they're a Christian or that they believe in Jesus or even that they've been saved doesn't mean that they have been truly been born again. And we preachers sometimes are a little too quick to say, say this prayer and you're saved. There are a lot of people out there ready to go to heaven and they're not. Very simple. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. And I remember old Larry Lee years ago said, if you can be saved and not know it, you could lose it and not miss it. If you are saved, can I just tell you something? If you've ever been truly born again, it's because you believed the gospel. You believed Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. You believe that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. You believe. And you were so, you believed that so strong that you were willing to humble yourself and ask God to forgive you. And you were willing to say, God, I'm giving you my life. I'm going to follow you from this point on. And when that happened, you were hit by the peace and the presence and the glory of God in your spirit. And you felt him come in. And you felt him wash your sins away. And you felt peaceful. And you felt his love. And you felt his presence.
Listen, if you get saved, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you've never had that experience where you know the presence and power of God come in and that your sins are washed away and that Jesus came into your life, then you're not born again. You might believe in Jesus. You might believe the tenets of the gospel, but you've never been saved. Please, if that's you, somebody could be listening to me today. In Canada or Saudi Arabia. Not enough to believe. You must be born again. And you must be faithful to the end. He that endures to the end will be saved. Matthew 24:13. He is faithful. Folks, heaven and the holy city that's coming down and the streets of gold and the places where it says we won't need the light of the sun or the moon because the Lamb will be the light of it. The place where it says there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness, no more sin, no more evil, no more wickedness. The place where it says there are rivers of pure water. Where God says not only is He going to bring down that heavenly city, New Jerusalem, but He says, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So God's got a place for me if I stay faithful, brother. He's got a place for me. I tell people this all the time. I got a home in the third heaven at the throne room of God to be there and to worship Him and to love Him and to be with Him anytime I get ready. But I'm going to have a home in the New Jerusalem. And I also, if I'm meek enough to keep following Him, it says the meek will inherit the earth. So folks, let me tell you something. The Jehovah's Witnesses want to say we only get the earthly kingdom. And, you know, people want to say, well, we're going to be in heaven. No, folks. Let me tell you what we get. If you're faithful to the end, you get it all. You get heaven. You get the universe. You get the earth. You get the New Jerusalem. You get to be with the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, love in the flesh, the Creator of sheer power and glory, who He says for all eternity He will make all things new. He's going to show us things that we don't even know exist. Why would you want to miss that for pornography or an affair? Why would you want to miss that? Don't miss it. Don't miss heaven. Amen? Jesus loves you more than you can fathom. But it's not a question, and I've always said this, it's not a question of Jesus loving us, it's do we love Him? And if you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will hate wickedness and unrighteousness and sin. If you love me, you will hate the things of the devil. Halloween shouldn't even be a question. I see people putting these articles. I see Christians on Facebook putting articles of why Christians, okay for Christians to celebrate Halloween, and other ones putting it why we shouldn't celebrate Halloween. Come on! Should there even be a discussion? It really is. No! I'm not celebrating demons and ghosts and devils and witches. I'm not doing it. Not hard to figure out. I'm not letting my kids. Car pulled over in Dothan, Alabama. What are those Smarties candies laced with LSD getting ready to hand out to your children? Dothan, Alabama. Yeah, let's run door to door to a bunch of strangers' house and get stuff to eat. That makes a lot of sense. Not hard to figure out, folks. Love righteousness. Love Jesus with all your heart. Hate iniquity. That's the way I can tell somebody really got saved anyway. If they really got converted, I don't have to tell them there's certain things they don't watch, there's certain things they don't drink, there's certain things they don't smoke, there's certain places they don't go. Because they want to love God. They want to do things differently. And until you're willing to do His will, blinders are still going to be on your eyes. Amen? What y'all need to pray is that I'll be allowed by God to tell you what He showed me. Because it's true. You know, actually sometimes I say, Lord, why did it take me so long? But I love the Bible, y'all. Love God's Word. Love God's Word. It's really a protection for you. I talked about it last week. It's a protection for you. If you love the truth, you will not be deceived by the strong delusion. Because I can tell you, I'll just say this about what God showed me. I am absolutely now even more convinced that part of the great deception and delusion is coming. It's going to be the whole alien deception that's coming. More convinced now than ever. Satan's going to put on a tremendous light show for us. There's going to be beings walking around. In fact, before we close, pull this up. Childhood's End trailer. Book written in 1958, I believe, by Arthur C. Clarke. He was also the author of 2001: A Space Odyssey. You want to see their agenda? Y'all ready to get creeped out for a second? 2 minutes. Sci-fi. Coming in December. This is coming. Because, see, this book spells out the agenda. You know what the agenda is? These alien ships show up over major cities of the world. Right? The main one calls himself Overlord. That he's the supervisor for Earth, but he won't reveal what he looks like. And he's got all his little agents around here. And in the book, they form a world government, and he picks one man on the Earth to be his representative. All right. I don't know if that's it right there. Yeah, right there. You got it cranked up? All right, y'all watch this. Can you make it be? Go ahead.
My name is Kevin. I am the supervisor for Earth. Under our supervision, you will all flourish here. Peace, health, security for everyone.
Why are you here?
We need a messenger between the overlords and Earth. What are you thinking?
Thinking I'm going to see who I'm talking to. The overlords talk about peace, but this is an invasion.
Look at the picture. There is no war, no peace.
I would rather the world than down under our control and flourish them.
You little wife is much better for us. This is about the whole damn world.
Tell them the truth about what you really are.
This world will be okay.
This is their agenda. This is the UN agenda. This is your world leaders' agenda. They're getting you ready for it. Don't be deceived. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth. God, I ask you, Lord, anybody listening today, they're not saved, they're not born again, they're not living for you, that they will do that. They will seek you, Jesus, until they find you, until you come in, wash their sins away, and turn their dead, dark spirit into a born-again, clean spirit. Well, we thank you for that. We pray for your power, your truth to go forth. We pray for revival in our land. Lord, here in America, we need you. We need you in a powerful and mighty way. Father, we ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. One last thing, and before you go, I'm glad you stayed because I need to talk to you about something right before you go. But let's pray over the offering. If you have a tithe or offering, it's back there on the basket. Just drop it in there. Brother Troy, would you pray over the offering today?
Yes. Father, Lord, we thank you for the powerful word. Lord, that the favor be upon us, that a little goes a long way. Bless this ministry, keep the seat, Lord, to the pastor, and guide the steps of it.
All right. Well, y'all know the drill. Hugs and necks. You guys hang on for just a second. We have a ladies' meeting Thursday night here.